from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully, you're off work. Luckily for you, Dirty and the Dill.
The Big Dill.
And Psycho T, a.k.a. T Mill, a.k.a. There he is. For folks on YouTube and Twitch, Moneybags. Has he had a good night? And he's had a pretty good run. Healthy Astros have won 11 of 12, so Tyler should be looking up. Should be looking up pretty well right now. Remember, 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And a little bit of news to get to before the game tonight as the Astros take on the Red Sox game two. The big news is Joe Espada talking about Alex Bregman. First, this bit of audio on Alex Bregman on how he's feeling, and where he is right now. He's not in the lineup today, but here's Joe Espada on the latest.
Yes, he is closer to getting in the lineup. He is going to hit, and once he hits, and we'll see if he could be available for tonight. But he is closer to getting back in the lineup, yes.
All right, closer to getting back into the lineup. I'm guessing Kyle Tucker is closer to getting back in the lineup as well.
God, I would hope so.
closer than further. But he also spoke with Alex Bregman about throwing in the field, because he's talked about swinging the bat, but it is an issue with the right elbow, his throwing elbow. This is him referring to him in the field.
Yes, he is. He has played catch. Very light game of catch, yes.
Sorry, light game of catch?
Game of catch.
That's the part that gets it.
How many times have you guys played catch? Do y'all go, hey, you gonna play game of catch?
Never.
I don't say you want to have a catch, which I know a lot of people say.
No, let's go
that's
play catch.
Let's go play catch.
You play catch?
Yeah,
toss it around a bit?
Yeah. Go get some long toss, bro.
Hey, Tyler, back up. You want me to split the webbing on your fingers?
Let's start here first. Let's start the back up a little bit. Let's get the accuracy get loose. First.
Never play a game of catch.
Have a game.
That's cool.
Have a game of catch. But that's where they are. So, Alex Bregman, it seems like there is a possibility of him being able to swing the bat, as he's not in the lineup, so there's potential possibility of him being a pinch hitter in this game. He said they want to see how he is on the field. But clearly, Clint, this has gone past the 3 days that they initially thought it would be, and now he's going to, at least in terms of the starting lineup, miss the first two games of this series with the Red Sox. This one is just, again, you're hopeful that this is a situation where he is able to get on the field. But quite frankly, Clint, it's hard to really kind of take what they're saying about this as understanding it's what
impossible.
The really is.
It's impossible, right? I mean, at this point in time, the most accurate source on the Astros injuries is Chandler Rome. Not somebody inside the building, and clearly maybe he's got a connect inside the building. He's getting it from somebody, but there ain't no doubt. Look, in any way we can get Alex Bregman back, I'm here for. I mean, get him back on the field. If it's just in a DH role, cool. Get that bat back in the lineup. I don't know how many games you win, even with great pitching. I don't know how many games you win moving forward with no Bregman and no Tucker. I don't know how much Altuve, Alvarez.
You don't want to press that luck.
Yeah, I don't want to press that luck. I mean, they've done a hell of a job. They've been absolutely tremendous. One of the best hitting teams in the game from a runs per game perspective over a good chunk here without Tucker. I don't want to see if that can hold up without Bregman. So, I hope the swings go well today and he can at least be in a DH role or be available to pinch hit at some point in time. That'll be movement in the right direction. But, I mean, look, it's hard at this point to not cut your eyes a little bit at what's going on with this elbow.
Yeah, hopefully it is he is getting closer and to the field. I just judging by the words in terms of getting at third base, that doesn't sound like that's close. When I say close, that doesn't sound like that's tomorrow. Hopefully it is. Hopefully he graduates up to a higher, and I'm being serious here, a higher level of catch or throwing the ball with more intensity and velocity.
Conviction, Ron. Conviction is what you're looking for.
I was trying to be serious, but I know if I'm going to say conviction catch, I'm out. I'm out because I'm laughing.
Conviction's actually a really good word. Like if you're playing catch, you should throw with conviction, but I've never heard it like conviction catch.
When he said conviction catch, that one threw me. That one tore me right there. But hopefully he is getting back to there. We'll see. I think you could see him at DH. I think that's possibly how he comes back. First is more at DH. We'll see him and see if he can get the ball at third base. But that's the latest on Alex Bregman. Real quick also, there is video of Kyle Tucker. And honestly, he
exists?
Judging by the video, I will say this. This video looks far better than the early week video we watched in Tampa. Now he is not running. He is not running down any fly balls or anything. But this one, he's actually doing some lateral stuff as he is laterally moving back and forth, side to side stuff, jumping side to side. So I would say this one looks better than the video we saw last week where it looks like he was still clearly favoring that leg.
Yeah, I think all the videos, a little bunny hop yesterday, yeah. the lateral hops today. You know, those are all progress. They're all movement in the right direction.
Tuck time is coming.
The stuff that we saw today, the one good thing is that he is actually, it's a lateral yeah. leap almost where he's landing on each leg individually and that jar and that those cleats catching in the ground. You like to see that a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's the run. It's the immediate stop, the have to slide, the have to dive, the up against the wall. It's the full speed run, the full speed stop, and all the obstacles that are in the way in terms of diving, sliding, hitting walls. That's
got to be driving.
It just doesn't look like he's anywhere near that.
It's got to be driving him nuts that he just can't make his body. Like, he can't make his body to get to where he wants it to get to. So that is that's the latest there, injury front, as both appear to be getting closer.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Ronel Blanco gets the ball tonight. And remember his last start. This is a good sign. His last start, he got hit with the comebacker, had to exit the game after getting hit in the finger. But he is back on the mound. ERA still under 3, by the way, from Ronel Blanco. They'll try to get game 2 against the Red Sox. The lineup today, Altuve and Alvarez. Alvarez is the DH tonight. Yiner Diaz, who had the walk-off yesterday, is at catcher. Pena's at short. Singleton is at first base tonight. Dubon in left. Myers living it up in center field. And the young fella, Whitcomb, at third base again. And Chaz McCormick, after running hard, baby, Chaz McCormick gets back in the lineup. How about that?
That's a big stolen bag right there,
Chaz. Chaz said, I'm going to add something to this damn team.
He went on that first pitch, too, now.
Yeah, he did.
The infield hit and steals second. Hello.
I felt good for him. You see how happy he was looking in the dugout?
How about, did you see when he got in the dugout?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, in the dugout. See how happy he was? I bet he said, fellas, we going out and it's on me.
Yeah.
He needed that, man.
I don't advise you do that. I mean, you need that money, Chad.
So you need to hold on to it?
You need to hold on to that right now.
Hey, man.
Wait till things get a little bit better.
Let's hope so. Chaz,
sub 200 ain't gonna get it, cuz.
Chaz, man, he needed that night, baby. He needed that. That infield hit, stolen base.
He just needed something good to happen, man. Just some action. Some good action. Some reason for the fellas to smile and high five instead of roll their eyes and here we go again. Yeah, that was big for Chaz. It's big for the squad.
Yeah. Right now, they are 1-0 in this 14 game stretch where they play playoff teams or teams that are right out, or a team in the Red Sox that's right outside of the playoff hunt. They got Verlander going tomorrow. It'd be big to go ahead and win the series tonight behind Blanco, who's been the most consistent pitcher for the Astros from start to finish, thus far this year. So it'll be big tonight to try to get another W ahead of Verlander pitching tonight against this Red Sox team.
Yeah, come on, man. Let's go into Verlander night with a little bit of momentum.
Can we tighten it up a little bit tonight, fellas?
How about that?
Good God Almighty.
Yeah, that wasn't exactly a great game that exhibited what you want in defense in a baseball squad.
What the hell?
Four damn errors.
What the hell was that, man? Yeah.
Here's the deal. I missed the Whitcomb era and the Caratini era. I missed those two. I did see the Altuve era, which I think a true first baseman would have made that a non-factor. That would not have been an error. It wouldn't even have been a tough watch. Diaz at first right there. I think the tinkering may have got him. A little bit. And then the Pena deal, I mean, hell, he fielded it clean with his glove and was just trying to take it out of his glove and bobbled it a little bit. That doesn't happen much. I miss the other two, though. But you're right. You can't have four in a game.
Yeah.
You can't have four in a game and expect to win many of those. That's for damn sure.
Especially against good baseball teams with the Red Sox have been. But, yeah, go ahead and get this thing. Tighten this thing up a little bit here as they have struggled a bit. So, Astros back at it tonight. Coming up, see if they can win this series against the Red Sox.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, this saga continues, and here is the latest, according to Jordan Schultz, who covers the NFL. The 49ers and wide receiver Brandon Ayuk had another meeting yesterday. Stay up, Big Billy.
Mm-hmm.
Had another meeting yesterday, and talks continue to progress on a long-term contract extension. There has been movement on a deal, but there is some minor details that need to be ironed out with ownership approval. So it sounds like, I don't know what's going to happen here. I thought he was going to lean.
I read something this morning. He's going to end up in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh is still being aggressive on that. But according to this now, they've had talks the last several days. I know the 49ers and Ayuk's representation have had talks the last several days. But this thing here, this is just wild to me, and what this long-term deal would look like for the 49ers.
Well, I can't wait to see the numbers, Ron, because, I mean, this – and I'll be honest with you, this reeks of the market isn't as rich as Brandon Ayuk thought it would be for him. Because, look, I mean, here's the deal. If you think you can be traded to Pittsburgh, your agent talks to Pittsburgh, hey, man, we're going to sign a big deal on the back end of this thing, and – it's a deal that San Francisco's not willing to make, then it's a no-brainer. You leave. You bounce. Hell, if New England was going to offer a big-time contract that San Francisco's not, then you bounce. You leave. So, I don't know. Obviously, there's no telling what's going on behind closed doors, but even with the 49ers, it seems like Brandon Ayuk has realized it's not as – I'm not going to command the kind of money that I thought I was. Let me go ahead and stay in San Francisco where I know I got a chance to win big games.
That's what it is.
To produce. Yeah, I mean, this is long and drawn out, and it's got too many teams involved for it. If somebody was that turned on by Brandon Ayuk, you would have thought he'd have bounced.
It seemed like the Steelers have said they have continued to pursue. They got a deal. I think they had a second round pick and a later round two picks to the Niners for Brandon Ayuk.
Well, it has to be the contract details, right?
It's got to be. I mean, for me, if I'm the Niners, like,
If I'm the Niners, I don't know if you want to keep him past this year, but I would certainly look at, hey, let's just be honest together. We won't franchise you next year, but maybe we give you a little bit more right now to have you on the team. Because I do think right now, as they got to try to win a Super Bowl, man, where they've been.
Yeah.
And I know they got some young dudes, but like, hey, 1 year, hey, let's ride this thing off and get you in one more time. Because he clearly changes their football team if he's not there. And I'm not saying, like, for you, he is.
Oh, I know. It's a valid point.
But he changes their football team, and they've got some talented young guys, but they'd have to kind of change it up.
Yeah, well, it's a roll of the dice, right? You got some talented young dudes, but can they do what, or even come remotely close to what Brandon Ayuk has done? That's a long shot, right?
Yeah.
My problem with Brandon Ayuk is that he's coming out, and it seems like he wants big money. And I think he's more. I talked to this yesterday with a couple of guys. I mean, I think he's in the Nico Collins market. I think he's had one better, you know, one extra year. He's had 2 years of 1,000 plus yards. But I think when it comes down to it, Brandon Ayuk is in the same, I think, playing field as Nico Collins after the 1 year, after the coming out party Nico had. A lot closer to that than 30 plus million a year.
In the top, yep. All right, that's the latest there with that situation. We'll keep you updated on that. But right now, it is your time. Caller number two. No, I'm just kidding. Caller number five. Caller number five, 713-572-4610. Caller number five, your chance to win a pair of tickets, front row seats, in the bullpen. Caller number five, Tyler, will take care of you and will hook you up as he did last week. Your chances right now, the final preseason game, the final tune-up. You get to see some guys who are playing for their jobs, playing for their livelihood in this game in NRG coming up at noon on Saturday. Caller number five. Caller number five, Tyler, will take care of you. 713-572-4610. This is your final opportunity to win a pair of tickets on our Texans Ticket Tuesday. Hooked somebody up earlier on Payne and Pendergast, as well in the noon hour on In the Loop with Lopez and Reggie and Figgy, and as well now right here with The Drive, your chance to win a pair of those tickets front row. So get it in here, Tyler.
Caller number five.
We'll take
on the drive.
Call number five on the drive, baby. You couldn't wait to get that out.
Come on now.
Right. Couldn't wait to get that out. All right. Listen, I think I owe apologies. I don't know if Clint does. I think he probably does. But I don't know if Clint feels he does. I believe I owe an apology to a couple of members of the Houston Astros brass. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive in this piece. And Astros, and they rolling, man. They rolling, man. You win a game like you did last night. That's not one you don't win.
Right? Close.
Tyler said that's the first time they've had four errors in a game since 2021. And I just want to take this time to listen. I speak for myself, no other person, no other man in here. I speak for myself. I got to give credit, and I think I got to give a little bit more than credit. By the way, shout out to Christian and Willis for winning the pair of tickets.
Yeah, girl.
Listen to the show every day. Love you, boys. We love you too, Christian. We love you too.
We even show you with a couple tickets, huh?
Sure did.
Man, bro, I love you, man.
Hey, I love you too, bro. Is that Christian?
No. Might have been. Might as well be. But listen, I got to say, when you look at this team and where they started and how they have come on and what they have done the last two or three months, it's been remarkable. They're 12 games over 500 right now, which I never thought that they would be, or I would see that.
Really, really happy.
They're five games up in the division, which in the American League, and there are some really good teams in the American League, they have the largest lead in the division in the American League. Really, only the Phillies and the Brewers have larger leads in their divisions in baseball. Bigger lead than the Yankees, bigger lead than the Guardians, bigger lead than the Dodgers.
Five. I got a message for those
game
games,
lead.
Sir.
Now, I will be honest, say some of that has to do with how terrible the division has been this year. But still, that is where they are from where they started. That 10-game deficit, that's the fastest any team has made up that ground in MLB history. Hey, man, they are rolling and down. And here the last couple of months, they're 30 games over 500, rolling. Dana Brown made the right decisions. Albeit maybe it took him a while to get there on some of them, but he made the right decisions. He said he felt really good about their trade deadline, and Kikuchi has made him a truth teller. Captain Joe Espada, you got to give him credit for what he has done thus far and how his team has responded towards him and how he has managed all of this through the countless injuries to major top-tier players, guys that have been gone. Guys, now listen, he's not the best at talking to the media or explaining things, but clearly something that he has done has gotten this team day after day over the last few months to get to this spot. Not only do those two deserve credit,
don't
I apologize.
Do it. Oh,
I want to find out. You ought to get on
what
it here.
That takes a big man, Ron.
You ought to
get on
this.
Put your pom-poms down.
You need to get over this. Oh, now, you're still calling that man a number two now. I mean, you got to jump off of it.
Come on, man.
Listen, I'm going to apologize.
I answered your question.
First off, this is what I'm going to apologize for. And I'm speaking to my own man, as my own man. And some of you, you can lead the way. Leadership is here. There we are. I'll lead the way. You can come back and you can apologize. Some of us. And listen, I think it was very, very fair of the criticisms. And I do not take it back what I said, because I think he was awful. He was not helping this team. But I said I didn't think he was a major league manager. I said I thought he was in over his head. And not just at the moment, but I think I thought it was going to be too big for him. I didn't give him the fairness of allowing him to grow into the position in the way that he has grown into the position. And there are some of you out there saying, give it time. I don't know if you really believed it or if you were crossing your fingers and hoping it. But he has grown into the position, and I don't think a bad manager, which I said he was, and a guy who is a number two, like you have said, I don't think that guy is a part of this turnaround with all of the injuries and all of the things and all of the adversity that happened to this team. So I apologize. You are a big league manager. I was wrong on that. Apologize.
I don't like
to have that look. For
look, I really can't believe it. I can't believe that's coming out of your mouth. I just can't believe it. Look, I'll give credit where credit is due. Joe Espada's team is playing really, 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 really good baseball.
Cream always rises to the top.
I don't look at the historical hunt down of the Mariners 10 games back, and they hunt down a team quicker than anybody has ever done in Major League Baseball. And there's nothing Joe Espada did in that time that I go, yep, we just managed our way to that. There's nothing. I give credit. The guy, I mean, he's a manager of a team that's been to 7 straight ALCSs, that has championship DNA, that clearly has locker room, clubhouse chemistry like nobody else. We've heard what Kikuchi said when he first got in here. I mean, it's. I will give credit where credit's due. He's done a good job managing this baseball team, an unbelievably good, resilient baseball team. He's done a good job. I give that credit where credit is due. I still don't think he's the long-term answer for the Astros at the manager position.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. I mean, he has done, like, since the time you're talking about where Everybody was questioning, is this the dude? Is this dude all right? Can he handle this?
Well, I was full-fledged, not questioning. I said he is done.
Oh, yeah. Okay. However you want to couch it. Like, there's not – like, Joe Espada has not done – I mean, what has Joe Espada done to take you from he shouldn't be a manager to I apologize?
He has gone over a large sample size for 3 months through all kinds of injuries to guys that are the most important on the team and has held and helped and in some way held that group together. I think the manager gets a lot of credit for that. Man. He has had to jump on the backs of not the guys that you think of. Yeah, it's like Hunter Brown, who hasn't been here before, and guys like Spencer Agetti, who they had to get going and roll through here. Ronel Blanco, guys like that who they've had to get through, and a bunch of guys in the lineup who have struggled mightily.
Ryan, you could have made that decision.
That's
They were next up.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Guys got injured. It wasn't like they said, oh, nope, you, Spencer, come on up because you're better than such and such. I mean, guys got injured, and you're forced to pitch those guys have pitched really well.
I'm not a major league manager, and I'm not a guy who knows the sport. There could have been other decisions, knows the sport like that. There could have been other decisions made, and I do think his influence
on a day-to-day
basis.
What pitchers that were available were pitched and decisions were made on those guys?
They could have gone different directions in the minors. They could have done pitchers. They could have done a lot of different things, and even more than just the decisions. It is not just the decisions. It is for him and his calming influence to come into the locker room in the clubhouse on a day-to-day basis for 3 months, for them to be able to sustain through injuries to Verlander and Tucker and the whole Abreu thing. I give him credit for holding that together, just like I give Dusty credit in the previous 2 years of holding that together through adversity. I don't think just me or you or any person off the street would have been able to do that. I don't.
Well, I mean, as a general assumption, that's fair. But I specifically said that about the pitchers. There was no major decisions made on anybody's part about pitchers.
But there was none. But I think there's also a fairness of the confidence that he instilled in these guys.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's fair.
It's not just the decisions, but like these guys stayed with it the whole way. And I think the person running the show. It gives it. There are people who agree with you. I think there are people who agree with you.
No, look, I don't have a problem giving credit where credit's due, but I just don't. I've not seen a bunch of decisions and management stuff to where all of a sudden I'm like, yep, this is the dude.
Yeah.
Yep, no longer. Now, this is the guy.
61-37, that's a big league manager. And I said he's not. That's a big league manager. Okay. We'll get your thoughts. You can call in 713-572-4610. Your thoughts, I'm gonna be big enough. I apologize. I thought that cat didn't deserve at all to be in that position and was gonna run this thing into the ground, and he didn't. Clint, we'll continue to get your thoughts on that. And a couple of guys that we may need to look at going into week one for the Texans. We'll discuss that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Josh Hader right there in the building.
I saw that video for the first time, boys, by the way.
So sick.
I've got to get to a game and see it in person. I've got to. The lights go down. Wayne starts up fire on all the screens around the deal. I've got to, man. My luck, I'll go to a game and he won't pitch.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Hopefully it's a good reason. Hopefully the Astros are blowing him out when you are there, except for when I play the Royals. All right. Question to both of you as we're talking about this thing. I want to see what Larry and Stafford has to say about this. I'm sure he's loaded up. I issued an apology to Joe Espada and Dana Brown. I referred to Joe as a bench coach. I didn't think he was a manager. I thought he was a bench coach. And for me, what he has done over the last 3 months, I think has proven that wrong. I apologize for that. Clint will not. Is in refusal.
I will give credit. I will not apologize.
I just wonder how much of the start, how much do you put in his category in terms of reasoning that they were off to such a slow, sluggish start? Because I thought he was a big culprit and a big reason why.
No, I don't place a ton of the blame on him for why they played so poorly early. Same way I don't place a lot of the credit at his feet on why they're playing so well right now. I mean, what's that?
Smart answer.
I don't. I mean, it's hard for me either way with a guy that's never done it to feel like from a credit perspective of like a guy impacting a team that is the Astros that have been to 7 straight ALCSs. That is extremely, I'll put it this way, extremely manager friendly. Like it's hard for me to think that guy swings swings either way in terms of how they impact winning or losing. I think the team, there was a lot to do with the injuries, obviously. There's a lot to do with the young guys that are pitching really, really well right now, just did not pitch well early in the season. They were forced to stick with those guys and pitch those guys because they were out of options ultimately, which ended up paying off. I don't put a lot of the blame on him early on or the credit right now today as they're playing great baseball.
Yeah. For me, I thought he didn't handle the personalities well. I thought there was a lack of belief in him, and not just because he hadn't done it before, because he was just doing things that made it look like that he had no clue when he was in over his head. And I feel like here in this stretch, he is starting to come into his own. And I think that has had something to do with this team.
Ron, I think when you, like, I've said this a million times, and I know it's more a more serious thought than baseball, but like, it's easy. Like this team right now is easy to manage, and it's easy to communicate, and it's easy to do. I don't mean like his job. I'm not saying I could do his job. I'm just saying when they're swinging the bat the way they're swinging the bat, and they're pitching the way that they're pitching, they're winning the way that they're winning. Life is good, man. It's easy. Like, what are you doing when your first baseman is a $30 million guy and you're sending him to the Florida Gulf Coast League and you're telling us that you've seen improvement in his bat and he comes back in here and a handful of games in, you're shipping his ass off? Like, I mean, that kind of stuff is not, I don't know.
He started coming to his own.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. I don't put a ton of blame either way. I think the team, first and foremost, was playing unbelievably poorly early on. Yes, the injuries were an issue as well. I don't know. I can't explain why they were playing poorly, but they've turned the corner and they're pitching better and they're swinging the bat better and they're weathering the storm of the injuries better. And I'll give some credit. I mean, hell, he's the manager. There's credit due. But I mean, I can't.
You got him as a number two.
I can't all of a sudden think that this is the best man for the job, and this is the long term answer for the Astros.
Larry, what's your thoughts on this? You how you feeling about his spot? You think I'm giving him? You think I'm giving him too much?
I don't know what you apologize for, Show. I stand with Quinn on this. Look, a spider was like you used to be, Show, when you used to be driving your ass around campus in that Corolla you used to have, man. You was just overwhelmed,
man. I got a Camry. I ain't never had a Corolla in my whole life.
I know you got a Camry now because you think you're an upgrade.
I ain't never had a Corolla. I ain't never had a damn Corolla.
Driving around in that little Corolla.
Why do you push these lies?
And then everybody think that now that you got the Camry, you just graduated. He had the keys to a Cadillac that Dusty Baker left him, and it overwhelmed him. And the fact that Jeff Bagwell and all them boys was handcuffing him with Abreu, it had him shell-shocked. You know water always finds its level, man. These boys are a World Series championship team. They was going to get right, and once they get to pitching and everything back, all he had to do was keep his hands on the steering wheel like you did in that Corolla. But, you know, it's the way that we're going about this thing, and when morphed the Mariners' ass back to rightfully where they belong. So I'm good with not apologizing, but he gets some credit because he didn't wreck the car driving it off the 610 freeway. Now, you boys do a real interesting thing on these airways, man. First, I got to hear about Tyler Nipples. Then I got to hear about, what's the boy, Tua and Flores, because Flores did bully the dude. And then I got to hear about Show and just how he eat boogers. Let me say this to you, man.
Now, first off, I ate boogers when I was younger.
If you 35 years old and your ass still digging in your nose eating boogers, I got a serious problem. But see, I'm not surprised, Show. Sidewinders, boogers, that was your whole childhood, and you had just carried this stuff over into adulthood. Stick to sports, man. Let's talk about them Texans and how we going to cut Bet and keep Brevin Jordan and Stover in that backfield. And keep Stover and Brevin in that backfield. I don't want to hear about you still dicking in your nose, man, and I'll holler.
You two, shut up laughing.
No, that's the first time. That's the first time Larry's got Ron, too. Ron was like, usually Ron sits over here loading up, can't wait to respond. Ron was even like,
I couldn't even fight it.
Just bold face.
Now I got to hear about Ron's eat boogers, man.
I'm not even 35.
Boogers, sidewinders.
I want to make that very clear. Listen, this is a day of a man being able to be honest about things. I know you two can act like you didn't. Yes, when I was younger.
I didn't.
I picked my nose.
But
and
I didn't
ate
judge you.
Whatever. I'm alone. Patrick Creighton can come on here and lie.
You're
later
the
on
only one.
Say,
Clint's
booger.
The only one who burnt
Sean
bugs.
Bajani can come
I'm
in
the
here
only
and
one who has matching underwear boogers. With a woman.
And Chris can come on here and lie and act like he ate his boogers. Everybody then tasted some boogers. All right.
Hopefully you're the only guy that remembers.
And that's fine. And yes, and I can apologize to Joe because I said he wasn't a manager. Joe's clearly a manager. All right, I'm apologizing to Joe. 61-37. That gives credit without some of your best players. From the text line, Show gets no respect. Well, your mama. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And that's fine. They're coming up behind us. Texans All Access. Former quarterback Matt Schaub joins the show. So stay tuned for that as Matt Schaub will talk with the fellas. And then after that, Area 45, Bajani and Creighton from 7 to 11, live and local. They had a lot of fun last night after Yiner Diaz walked them off. Hopefully they can do the same and they can continue this run against the Boston Red Sox. As game two tonight. All right. This is something that Thursday we'll get a chance to see the Rams and the Texans have their joint practice. And it's the only day they're having it. And that may be the closest thing, Clint, that Joe Mixon and Laremy Tunsil, and we'll see about others, but in particular those two, that might be the closest that they get to
any kind of a game scenario before week one against the Colts. Any level of concern, those are two veteran guys, but Joe Mixon with a brand new team. And then I think, as you know, line play, and Andre Ware talked about it, needs to be in sync. This is going to be the first time that really he's played next to Juice Scruggs, the center, and more importantly, next to Kenyon Green, the left guard. Any concern that their first taste of action of real game, live speed, stay up. Outside of that,
yeah,
will be week one against the Colts.
None with Laremy Tunsil whatsoever. I think Laremy Tunsil, he can crawl out of bed and pass protect with the best of them. We'll see what the run game looks like this year with him leading the way. No concern whatsoever. When I look at Joe Mixon, there's a hint of concern right there. You're talking about they have taken the physicality out of football at an unbelievable rate. I'm not a fan of it at all. But the one position that it seems to have not impacted really at all is the running back position. These guys get absolutely beat to death in a football season, in a football game. They're toting the most precious thing on a football field, that pigskin. Go even further, the pass protection, the dynamic of pass protecting and dropping your hips and anchoring down on a linebacker or a safety or a corner or even a defensive end sometimes that you've got to pass protect. Like, you just simply cannot duplicate that at practice. Like, it just, you don't get that until the first time it happens in a game. You can replicate it in a preseason game, the contact, the physicality, but you can't do it in a practice. You can't even do it in a joint practice. And so there is a hint of concern with Joe Mixon. And the extent of that concern is, might there be a ball jarred loose early in the first half of a game where the contact got to him? Hope it doesn't happen, but he wouldn't be the first. Is there a struggle in pass protection for a guy that typically doesn't struggle in pass protection? Is there a struggle in pass protection because, damn it, he just ain't been doing it at full speed?
Yeah,
that concerns me a little bit. The running, the catching, the making people miss, the top end speed, I ain't worried about all that. It's the contact, the ball security, and the pass protection are the three elements that for a running back I go, man, that damn game time, especially regular season game, that's a different level of contact, especially in today's game.
And to me also, the thought of, like, he's never run behind any of these guys on the offensive line. And clearly what we've seen in the preseason and what we've seen in reference to last year is, hey, man, ain't going to be a lot of just, hey, see it and hey, man, you got about 4 yards to play with before you get touched. This ain't a lot of just plugging in with the Ravens. Like, there is some, hey, you got to find the creases and the holes and see how these guys block and what they do and how to run off of them. That to me is something that'll be interesting to watch as well, because it's the first time they've been around them, or he's had to run behind them. All right. Coming up again behind us, Texans All Access, Matt Schaub, former Texans quarterback, will join them. And then Area 45, Bajani and Craig, stay tuned for the postgame show as the Astros look to win again against the Boston Red Sox. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job as always. I'm Ron Hughley as always. Houston, we love you, baby. See us all. Tyler is showing his nipples. I don't have it right now. The internet in here is
get them nips.
Oh, I can see it from here.
Show has started 3:43 p.m. Central.
Both nipples out staring. And there was some little bitty sucker.
Yes, he is. He has play catch. Very light game of catch. Yes.
Very, very light game.
Double back real quick. Oh, I mean, he's
backpedaling like Derek Stingley. Whatever age you're in, I mean, if you're in your 30s like Tyler, in your early 40s like me, or in your mid 40s getting to upper 40s like Clint. The world's all right with me.
Yeah, girl.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.